This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round one recap for this week's Valspar Championship. And joining me to break it all down, it's Kyle Porter, KP. What up?
What's up, Rick? I got two questions off the top, have nothing to do with golf. Well, one of them kind of does. So the Valspar is, you see the players, that you see the caddies have the nameplate on the back, and you can make it whatever you want.
Yes.
What would you pick? If you're playing in the Valspar, what would you pick? I think I know, but I mean,
Rick Run Good would be pretty smart and savvy, I think, to put on the back of it for myself. But, I don't know. What would you pick?
I thought you would pick Rick Run Good because it flows. Yeah. It is free advertising.
Correct.
although, theoretically, if you're playing on the tour, you wouldn't need to advertise. Although
I would hope not.
I guess JT and other guys put their Twitter name. I would either go with my like Twitter, Instagram stuff or just KP.
KP
just
would be good.
Yeah. I love that DJ just went with the normal
Johnson, comma D.
It was very, very on brand.
It would have been cool if his was DJ. That would have been cool. That would have been very slick.
Too much work for him. Yeah. It's not within his like parameters of efficiency. Second question is, have you seen any good movies recently? Wife and I are going to watch a movie tonight. I don't watch movies, so I don't even know where to start.
Either do I. I can't even tell you the last time I saw a movie. I'm almost scared to watch movies at this point because it's like a 2-hour commitment. You don't know if it's going to be good or not. At least with television series, it's like, okay, if it's a 30-minute show, it's like 22 minutes. I know whether I'm going to be into this or not. It seems like too much of a commitment for things that could go sideways. So I can't even tell you the last movie I saw.
I totally agree. It feels like, it's just with how little time I'm working with, I'm like, you want me to give 2 hours to something that I have no idea, like if it's good, if I'm going to like it. If I'm going to do that, I'm just going to like read the first 50 pages of a book.
I'm almost positive the last movie I saw in a theater was probably the last movie I watched, and it was Passengers with Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence, where they're like circling through space. That came out in 2016, so it's been 5 years probably since I've watched any movie. That's what we're working on.
So, Phil Mickelson is one more recently than you've seen a movie.
Correct. Yeah, a lot of guys have.
I couldn't think of any. That was the first. I could have said Speed, but now it's not as funny because he won like 3 weeks ago. Should we talk about golf?
Before we do that, I have to talk about the Kentucky Derby and how Sportsline has you covered. Don't lay a wager before visiting sportsline.com for the best racing analysis from legendary handicappers. We've got Hammer and Hank Goldberg with the inside scoop from Bob Baffert. Jody Demling has nailed 9 Oaks Derby doubles. Horse racing guru Gene Menez is on the Early Edge podcast dishing out his picks and getting you up to speed on how to bet the first leg of the Triple Crown. Sportsline has you covered for everything related to Saturday's Run for the Roses. Now we can talk about golf because one Keegan Bradley is atop the leaderboard at Valspar, a 7-under 64 in which he was bogey free. His inward 9 featured a 30. He leads the field in strokes gained approach, and he's doing that thing, Kyle. He gained nearly 2 shots with the putter, the thing we've been begging him to do for his entire career.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you look at the top 10 and it's a lot of names that we talked about on Tuesday, right? And I'm not like, whatever. We sometimes know. Yeah, that's not what I'm saying. I think it's more so like, yeah, these are the guys that you kind of expect to play well based on how they're hitting it. So I don't think that Keegan being 7 under is. I mean, it's surprising that he would gain 2 strokes with the putter, right? But it's not like him and Griot and, you know, Homa's been playing good. Answers get 6 straight top 30s. Kokrak plays well here. It's not hugely surprising when you kind of take a look at this board.
He has held the first round lead at Valspar before. He did it 5 years ago. He did it in 2016. He would go on in round two, KP, to shoot a 79 and miss the cut. He's on a pretty short list of golfers to be your first round leader and eventually miss the cut. The last guy to do it, Matt Everett at the Arnold Palmer Invitational in 2020. Keegan did it in 2016 here at the Valspar.
It's very difficult to do. I think, you know, the thing with Keegan, I watched his post-round sort of interview, and he said what you said on Tuesday, which is like, hey, I'm putting it better than, what was the phrase that you used? Like, I'm putting as well as I ever have in my career or whatever.
Correct. Yeah, right.
That's he said that again, and you feel like he just kind of like trots out these whatever. But I think the interesting part about him specifically with this week is you start to look at this board and you're like, man, he's at 7 under. Go look at historically what number wins this tournament. It's like 10, 12.
Yeah, he's almost there. Yeah.
9. And so I don't know. Maybe that doesn't change a ton, but and maybe I think it's probably playing a little bit easier this year. I looked back at Paul Casey when he won it the last two times. He shot 70 and 8 in 2018. He shot 70 in 2019. And so I think this year's scoring average in round one is a little bit lower. I think it settled at what, even par 71?
Yeah, I mean it's a fraction. Oh, it's essentially even par, yeah.
Yeah. So that's probably a little easier than this course normally plays. I don't know if that's because the time of year or whatever, but the point is like Keegan doesn't have to do a ton. I don't think over the next 3 days, easy for me to say when I'm not the first round leader, but you're just, it feels different than like if you're your 7 under at the John Deere after round one, right? You're like, oh, I got to do that 3 more times or whatever.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly right. So he's got some of these shots saved up. We'll see if he can bank them for the rest of the week. A couple of big names off to slow starts. Well, let's start with this. Paul Casey opening round 68, 3 under, almost makes an ace on, I guess it was 4, where the ball smacks the stick, doesn't go down. This is just Paul Casey being in contention again at Valspar.
Yeah, I mean, yes, it's just kind of what you would expect. You know, he got off to kind of a slow start. He started on 10, and yeah, bogeyed 10, and you're like, oh, well, you know, maybe that miscut at Harbortown is meaningful, but 7th from tee to green, or in the top 10, I guess, from tee to green since the round is not over yet. And you know, I think that it was interesting to read some of his stuff because he's clearly thinking about the winning it 3 times in a row. He mentioned it at least once, maybe a couple times. And it's just hard. Like, it's so difficult to do. And this field's good. I think it's the best field they've had in at least a decade. Last time I looked at the OWGR stuff. But yeah, it was a good start for him. And he's in position to be able to at least have a chance to do it again.
Dustin Johnson opens with an even round 71. He just tapped in on 18 for par. So this round just concluded. He had 3 birdies, 2 bogeys on the front, 1 lone bogey on the back. If you look at his metrics, KP, nothing too spectacular. Within 1 stroke of 0 in every single category, and he's going to be right at the field average. And he's got some work to do if he wants to win this golf tournament.
Yeah, he does. I watched most of his round. That was in the TV window, and felt like every time I looked up, he was just blasting a drive off to the right, like just because he hits that, you know, 3-yard cut or whatever off the tee, and it was more like a 30-yard cut. It was just, yeah. Did you notice that?
Yeah, he was pretty loose. It was not as tight. It was not that nice, gentle, you know, right, 3-yard fade that he hits normally. It was much bigger. Looked like my shot.
And I, For sure. I've got that that tracer, but his strokes hand off the tee is not that bad. It ended up at a little bit above average, or a little bit better than kind of what the field average was. But, you know, it's a course where it's just so easy to get yourself in trouble. I mean, he had to hit, I can't remember what hole, but he's way out to the right. He's got to hit like through this window. Did you see that shot?
Yes. Awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I think it was 10 or...
Well, I can find out for it. I don't know what it was, but he was all of, he was literally, he never looked, what I like about it is he never looked anywhere but that window. When he got up there, it was never a question. Yeah, it was on 10.
Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. I get scared with him because anytime you're like, well, it doesn't seem like he has it, next day is like a 64. And yeah. So I never like, he's one of the few guys where you're like, this could change tomorrow. You know, this could change on Saturday. But based on what I watched in round one, based on kind of how he's been playing over the last month, it doesn't feel like he's kind of got that number one, I'm DJ type stuff right now.
The fact that our friends over at William Hill are still listing him at 25-1 show you exactly how they feel and what he could shoot on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because that's a pretty outrageous number for a guy who's 7 shots back. The birthday boy, Justin Thomas, starts his birthday with an eagle on 1, a birdie on 2, and I'm thinking, oh boy, here we go. We're getting one of these rounds. He goes out in 3 under. He plays his second 9 at 1 over. So he played essentially his final 16 holes at even par. No, less than worse than that. 1 over after starting his first 2 holes at 3 under. Probably not the round JT would have liked after that start, but 2 under is going to be just fine heading into Friday.
Yeah, it is fine. And even better for him, it was all due to the putter, right? He's like 150th right now in putting. And he does this a lot. There are probably other guys that do it as much, but he'll do this thing. He did it at Memphis last year, remember? Where he's he won Memphis last year, right?
Yeah, he won Memphis as a negative putter.
He did it at TPC Sawgrass in March, where he'll putt terribly, 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 and then all of a sudden for 9 holes or 18 holes, it'll turn over and he shoots like a 30, and you're like, oh, that's why the numbers are important. You know, people make fun of us or whatever, but like you have to look at like, okay, how's this guy putting versus how's he hitting it? I was looking at Abraham Answer stuff. It's a little concerning. Like he was my pick to win. And he was like, I think the best putter in the field on Thursday, didn't hit it well at all. And I go read his transcript and he's like, hey, I didn't hit it well at all. And you're like, yeah, that adds up. And so I think that stuff is interesting. Not just, it's interesting because how's the tournament going to play out, but it's also interesting for, you know, wagering purposes and just kind of what it's meaningful stuff. And I think for JT, he's in a good spot because he's hitting it, or at least on Thursday, he hit it awesome and he got nothing out of it. Right. He just was terrible with his putter.
I completely agree with that. Speaking of wagering purposes, we're going to look at the odds via our friends at William Hill. But first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
The sports calendar is heating up and FanDuel is making it even more exciting to be a part of that action. It's definitely multi-screen season with golf in full swing, of course, but we've got playoff hockey and playoff basketball along with the start of Major League Baseball season just to pique your interest. Basically 24 hours throughout the day. And right now, FanDuel is giving new customers $200 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $200 that you can use to bet on the tourney, Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, so much more. I use mine on golf, of course, but the way to get involved, visit FanDuel.com/first and make your first bet a big win. Again, visit FanDuel.com/first and make your first bet a big win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. The NFL draft has arrived, and the Pick Six podcast is your audio outlet for immediate reactions for picks from Trevor Lawrence to Mr. Irrelevant. Want to know how your team fared each night of the draft? The Pick Six crew will analyze all selections, dishing out winners and losers, as well as team by team grades. Follow the Six Picks. Wow, that's hard to say. Follow the Pick Six podcast wherever you find this one. Our friends over at William Hill. Yes.
Sorry.
No, please.
I had a JT thing real quick.
Hit me.
Do you know what his proximity to the hole was on the front nine?
No, because I don't look at those stats.
Are you anti-proximity?
No, I'm not. I just am like so deep into the stroke skates. I like the proximity stuff better than a lot of other things. So no, I'm not anti. I'm like a 5 out of 10 excitement on proximity.
16 feet average.
That's dirty.
So 12 feet. 12 like feet, 30, 2 feet.
30 would be 30. Like the best on tour, right?
Yeah, 16 is a joke. He hit 7 of 9 greens. I don't know. I'm still in the JT stuff. We can move on. But I think that if you're looking at, let's talk about it as it relates to the odds here.
Perfect. He's 12 to 1. He is 12 to 1. He is going to be 5 shots back, but Keegan has a 2-shot cushion. So there are not as many guys as you would normally see being 5 shots back between Justin Thomas and the current leader. Keegan is 8 to 1, which normally, I mean, that's, I think this is interesting. We would normally see an 18-hole leader shorter than this. We usually see him in the 3-4-5 range. Odds makers not giving a lot of love to Keegan here. Abraham Ancer and Emiliano Grillo are the other two that round out the shortest guys. Answer looks toxic to me for the reasons that you mentioned. It is all done with the putter. I'm terrified about it. But JT is very interesting here at 12 to 1.
The hard part about those three guys at the top, Keegan, Answer, Grillo, I don't know. They don't win a ton. I guess Keegan sort of does, but like it's, does producer Jacob have the odds that we can look at here? Maybe.
Maybe
if you're watching on YouTube. Anyway, the guys at the top. So listen to this top six. So you got Keegan, Grillo, Ryan Moore, Hank Lebiota, Homa, and Patton Kizzire. There's not a ton of win equity there.
No.
Right? There's nobody in there that you're like, oh, that guy wins a ton. Maybe Keegan, I guess. I don't know. And so I think that's why you look at somebody like JT, who, yes, he's 5 back, but man, the guys in front of him, Paul Casey's in front of him. That's, you know, that's probably a problem. Kisner's in front of him.
Do you think it's interesting that Casey, Casey's a shot closer to the top and 4 points longer. He's 16 to 1 while JT is 12 to 1.
Yeah, but JT is like the best player in the world.
He definitely is. Casey's like the best player at this course.
True. And I think if you're looking at value, I think Casey at 16 is better than JT at 12. But I think it's some JT respect and name recognition, you know.
I think if you're gonna you almost have to bet JT right now. If you like that and you like where things are going, because if he does go out and after 2 rounds he's a 0 putter, which means he's gonna gain 2.5 strokes putting on Friday, he's probably gonna shoot something low, probably maybe the low round of the day, and you're not going to get anywhere near this number heading into the weekend for a guy who is a prolific winner. So if you think that this is one of those weeks where JT can get it back, he can have that 9-hole stretch where he makes everything and the lid opens up for him, you kind of got to get it now.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
Because even if he putts poorly, and he's in content, like, and he's just a couple back on the weekend, this number gets shorter.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes. Homa.
I mean, I think JT is I think it's a joke how good he is from tee to green. Like when he's hitting it well off the tee, like his iron play is it's outrageous how precise and we saw that at Sawgrass over the weekend when he shoots whatever it was 66, 65. Mm-hmm. And when he's feeling it, it's just like his distance control, everything is just so precise. It's unreal. I like Homa at 14 to 1. He had a bad stretch, 10 and 11, where he made a couple of bogeys, but I don't know, man. I think that Homa is somebody who, when I think about, okay, I was going to ask Dottie Pepper this, but who's like over the first quarter of this year, I guess first third of this year, whose view have I changed or who have I changed my viewpoint the most on? I think Homa is in that conversation. right? Spieth is weird because you're like, that's like a bigger thing, but just from like a trajectory standpoint, I think Homa's it for me.
Well, Homa wasn't, well, yeah, cause he probably wasn't even really in your view out, like when it comes to like actually contending in golf tournaments. And then he goes out and he wins at Riviera, which is a phenomenal win. He contends a lot more places. That's probably the right answer.
Yeah, I think that he's one of those guys that it takes 5, 6, 7, 8 years to kind of adjust and to assimilate to being a top 30 type guy, top 50 type guy. And I think he's there. I really do. And I'm excited about what he could do on the weekend. I think 14 for him is pretty good. Sungjae too at 14.
Yeah, he made bogey on his last two holes, which was unfortunate. Otherwise, he was hitting his irons a lot better, which is the blueprint that we laid out for Sungjae. So I'm interested in him as well. We'll be back after round two, after round three, and after round four of the Valspar Championship, breaking it all down. But for now, let me thank producer Jacob doing all the hard work behind the scenes. Let me thank Kyle Porter, who you can find on Twitter at KylePorterCBS. And you can find me at RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.